Hey, it's time for VoiceOver Body Shop, and George is off glamping this week. So we got
Tim Friedlander.
He's going to be our guest host. And our guest tonight is
Myrna Velasco.
Myrna Velasco, wave hello.
Hello.
There you go. Fabulous. All right. If you've got a question for Myrna or for me or Tim or anything, we'll see. Throw it in the chat rooms because we see them here and we can answer your question. Plus, we have lots of questions for Myrna, and I've got questions for Tim, and people might have questions for me. You never know. It's VoiceOver Body Shop coming up right now.
From the outer reaches, they came, bearing the knowledge of what it takes to properly record your VoiceOver audio. And together, from the center of the VO universe, they bring it to you now. George Whittem, the engineer to the VO stars, a Virginia Tech grad with the skills to build, set up, and maintain the professional VO studios of the biggest names in VO today. And you, Dan Leonard, the VoiceOver home studio master, a professional voice talent with the knowledge and experience to help you create a professional sounding home VO studio. And each week, they allow you into their world, bringing you talks with the biggest names in the voiceover world today, letting you ask your questions, and giving you the latest information to make the most of your voiceover business. Welcome to VoiceOver Body Shop.
VoiceOver Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan signature products, Source Elements, remote studio connections for everyone, VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your VO website isn't a pain in the butt. VOHeroes.com, become a hero to your clients with award-winning voiceover training. JMC Demos, when quality matters. And VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for VO success.
And now, live to drive from their super secret clubhouse and studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are the guys.
Hi there. I'm Dan Leonard.
I'm Tim Friedlander.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VOBS. Well, hopefully everything's working and everybody can hear us, and life is good out there in internet land, which I guess is kind of an oxymoron.
I guess so.
Anyway, so Tim, you're guest hosting this week.
Yes.
You are the owner of Soundbox Group.
Soundbox Group, yes.
Explain to us what Soundbox Group is, aside from this thing up above your apartment.
Exactly. Soundbox Group, at this point, we are a group of five voiceover studios, four in Los Angeles area, one in Colorado, and a signatory service. So we provide conversion services for voice talent to convert from non-union to union.
Oh.
Jobs, voiceover jobs. And we're Paymaster. We're also a voice bridging service as well. So we can help bridge in, multiple talent on different sessions.
So soup to nuts, voiceover stuff.
We can do everything. Actually, we can do everything from casting to final payroll. And so we've done some projects where we've come in and handled everything, literally from casting all the way through production, mastering, final delivery, and all the way into paying the talent.
Ah, see? So. Somebody who's totally qualified to be here. You know, we were like, George and I were like, well, who can we have as a guest host since he went off on his camping trip? And we were like, well, how about Tim?
Yeah, I'm always down.
And here he is.
Here I am.
Anyway, great. But we have another guest tonight. As I said, two for one. Our guest tonight is Myrna Garcia Velasco. She is a screen actor and voice talent. She's known for her roles such as the voice of CJ Hook in The Descendants, Wicked World. She also voices Carla Delgado in Elena of Avalor on Disney Channel and Tora Doza in Star Wars Resistance. She's also played Mimi Mendoza in Sydney to the Max on the Disney Channel. But I learned this tonight. She's Hannah the Hula Girl in all of those commercials for ARCO.
Hi there. I'm Hannah.
There she is. Welcome to VoiceOver Body Shop.
Thank you for having me, Dan.
Great to have you. You're our first in-studio guest.
Get the jab. Get the good jab. You can hang out.
In the 2020s. God, it's been so long since we've actually had humans in here. I've been sitting here alone all this time.
I don't know how to deal with people either. Can I touch your skin?
Just get the hand sanitizer.
Oh, yeah.
Well, welcome to the show. Your life is very interesting. Now you're from like right here in LA. Yeah. Everybody's moved here.
Yeah.
But you're actually from here. Tell us a little bit about where you grew up and how you got into voice acting and acting and stuff.
Okay. So I grew up mostly in Pacoima, Van Nuys area. My grandparents also moved to and from Mexico. They were migrant farm workers. Mm-hmm. So every summer, my mom was like, I just can't deal with you.
You're not a very high energy person. Right?
No, not at all. Not at all. We would spend summers in Mexico learning Spanish and how to be good children. We'd come back for American school and speak English from September to June and do it all over again. And there was also this like weird act break when I was 10, where we lived on a ranch in the high desert, which was bananas.
What was that like? What was so bananas about?
Bananas. What wasn't bananas about it? So like,
you weren't growing bananas.
We were not growing bananas. Yeah. We were growing alfalfa, which is just grass.
Right.
And so like you try to tell like these big ranch people like, we'll grow your grass. And that sounds, yeah. So a lot of cops were coming around like, what kind of grass? And I was like 10 years old having to explain, no, sir, it's not marijuana. Right. And then, you know, having to catch the bus for school. And like the one thing I learned is that goats are very suspicious characters and pigs are sweet and loving, but they smell so bad. So
well, they are pigs.
They are pigs. it's been kind of a crazy wild ride all around Southern California, and ended up spending my formative years in the suburbs and had just had enough of a crazy life to be like, well, the only place I fit in is LA. I better get down there. And just started hanging out, kind of.
and that's how you got into acting, just by hanging out in LA?
I mean, it was either that or music, and I couldn't play anything. So I was like, well, I can pretend real hard.
Yeah.
Pretend to have a job, which is what I did for many years before my dad kicked me out of the house. It's fine. I'm not angry about that. So I always wanted to be an actor, was jumping on top of goats, singing Oklahoma songs. I'm not sorry about that. They're very suspicious characters, these goats. I had the plan, the big, big plan to, go to university in New York and study stage. And I had graduated high school right during the first financial collapse. Not the first one in the first 20s, but the first one in the second aughts. You guys know what I'm talking about.
I mean, 2008.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm trying to be cool here.
Hey, I tell time by presidential administrations. I mean, I've been doing this since the Nixon administration. Ooh. So, it's not trying to date myself. Good. But anyway,
no,
carry on.
No, that was like 4 years ago, right? So I couldn't go to college because my sister was going to this really prestigious, expensive art school in New York. And I was like, well, I'll follow you, sis. I'm going to Tisch. And my parents were like, so we had a ranch where we sold grass, not the lucrative grass, but the regular grass. Don't think you can go to New York, kiddo. And me just kind of being a snob and didn't want to go to state school was like, well, I'll just be a server in Los Angeles then. So I did that and somehow also managed to acquire the skills and knowledge through just like studio classes in LA and through Stella Adler and all of these weirdo people that just ended up in LA to be actors. And I was like, well, you teach me what to do. And it seemed to have worked out just enough.
I think that that's one of the things, you know, Tim and I, and I think what we noticed this is that if you want to be an actor, you just don't. You might have some natural talent, but you got to take classes. You have to learn the craft.
Yeah.
What was the most important thing you picked up from those particular classes that you took?
I'll tell you what I first thought while I laughed there. Okay. Was a saying in Spanish that the women in my mother's family have carried through generations, which is dile que sí y haz lo que tú quieras, which is, tell them yes and do whatever the fuck you want.
Works for me. Come on.
So that's kind of the best acting advice I can give anybody. Because I think what was really interesting and what kind of made me good fodder for voiceover was that there's a lot of pressure, at least while I was in the acting studio classes, there's a lot of pressure to be a certain kind of type. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I was like, okay, well, it better be this type that does this stuff all the time. And mm-hmm. it just wasn't who I am. And I'm quirky and weird and uncomfortable a lot of times. So it just never translated well on camera. So a lot of the learning was me unlearning how to, you know, present something that people wanted mm-hmm. and just kind of living in time and right. space.
were you typecast at all, like, you know, for in Latin roles? Or
was I maid number one, prostitute number three? Yeah, well, there was a big push when I first got into the industry. I was like signed with my first agent kind of thing. I was 22 years old, and the most notable Latinas in the industry were Sofia Vergara and Salma Hayek. I'm not built like those ladies, because mm-hmm. you haven't noticed.
Is that something you pay attention to?
Thank you for not paying attention to it, gentlemen. Thank you for not paying attention
to it. We're gentlemen in this.
But that was a big thing, and still kind of is. I think with a lot more feminist-driven movements and Me Too movements, gentlemen are learning once again to, this is, the eyes are here, guys. But yeah, so there was this big push with my first agent and first manager to try to fit a sexy Latina. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, look, our fingers sexy. Like, I don't know. So I just, yeah, I couldn't hit that mark. And it was really disheartening. So like a good couple of years, and by a couple, I mean more than 10 years serving at Cheesecake Factory.
And maintaining your weight at the same time, which is probably pretty impressive.
A lot of night shifts and a lot of sobbing into the cheesecake instead of eating it. yeah, so after a few thousand auditions, I was ready to just give up. So I signed up for a yoga teacher training class in Bali, Indonesia, and was like, yeah, I was like, I'm getting out of here. I'm done with this. And at that point, that's when I got a call from a brand new voiceover agent that was like, we'd like to represent you, and we think you have some abilities that maybe you're not even aware of. And I was like, what's the worst that can happen? You guys will drop me too.
Yeah, it's great when an agent calls you, because literally the best way to find an agent is for them to find you.
Yeah.
Not, you know, sending out audition tapes and all that stuff. If you're making money, or if you're really making an impression somewhere, they're
going to
find you.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I thought my impression was lighting their trash cans on fire. So I'm not sure that's something y'all want to try.
It could be an effective strategy, depending on what they've got in their garbage can,
you
I
know,
suppose.
The other demos.
Ah, there you go. Smart.
You know.
Yeah. So they said, try some voiceover. So how did they get you into voiceover? What did they?
They sold it to me as improv and... well, what was really great is I did have a manager who was like calling the agents of like, have you heard of Myrna? And they're like, not at all. Well, I'm telling you about her. So they came in and I came in and they talked to me and they were like, well, what do you know about animation? And I was like, well, it's not that I know anything about animation. It's that I really like animation. And it's just like, I told this story, and I always tell this story, that when I was finishing up my Cheesecake Factory shift and crying in the shower to try to wash off all the cheesecake smells. before I would go to sleep, I would, on my laptop, turn on Dragon Ball Z or Cowboy Bebop or, you know, Jimmy Neutron even, and just like watch a good half hour of heartwarming animated television where it doesn't have to be like this life or death thing that I had somehow partaken in, and it just made me feel okay to start the next day. And lo and behold, here I am.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like looking over the stuff that you've done, most notably you know, since I didn't realize it until I listened to the voice a little bit, and then you told me that you're Hannah the Hula Girl in the Arco commercials, and I'm sure you've all seen those. I mean, your voice is so unique, and it cuts through in those spots, and that's really, you know, it's got what it takes.
Thank you.
You know,
thank
I mean, you. That you've got that, something that's like, why does this person stand out? And these are the things I pay attention to.
Well, thank you. I think it's just my obnoxious nature, but thanks.
Well, but that's, it's obnoxious how your pistons work. You know, I mean, come
right,
on.
Now. Right?
How did you land that job? I'm sure there were lots of people trying to audition for that one.
And also, like, if we can put the feelers out in the world, just to put credit where credit is due, okay. I am not the first Hannah.
Okay.
I am the second Hannah.
Well, you're the better one.
Oh, clearly. No. I would like to think that maybe, you know, she was the one that decided to take the teacher job in Bali, you know, right. or something. But I would love to meet her because she is such this foundation of what Hannah's voice is. Mm-hmm. And when I auditioned for that part, I had watched the Hannah commercials from Arco because I was like, these are hilarious. This is great. Who right. doesn't want to be a part of that?
Right.
And I would, you know, in the car while listening to the radio, hi, I'm Hannah, and just kind of mimic it back to her. Hi, I'm Hannah. And so I kind of had that foundation already. So I can't say that, like, I made up the character. I certainly did not. I copied this other girl and somehow they chose me over her. I hope she's okay.
I'm sure she got over it. Or right. she jumped off the Hollywood sign.
Well, there you go. Yeah. There you go. So I got the copy, and it was kind of, now that I'm like fully thinking about this, it was kind of this really cool thing back in the before times. I don't know how many times you guys would go to your agents to record auditions, but I went. Never. All the time.
Yeah.
Which is the only way they knew my name. So like now in this brave new world, I'm like, I feel so sorry for you guys who have to try to cultivate relationships with agents. I don't know how you do that.
Yeah.
Mine are my grandparents. So not literally, but yeah. you know, that's the relationship I feel I have with them. Yeah. Parents and grandparents. Anyway, I was in there recording one different audition, and my amazing commercial agent Peter just like popped his head out of his office.
Try
yeah,
this.
Exactly. And I was like, okay. had 30 seconds to read it, but I was like, oh, it's the Hula Girl. I know this. Okay, great. Just really didn't think about it, but kind of mimicked the other Hula Girl in this sense of like, well, either that's what they want or they want something completely different. And I right. can't deliver that anyway. So thanks for the opportunity, Peter. Have a great afternoon. Did you want coffee? You do? Okay, I'll be right back, kind of thing. Bribing agents 101 is my specialty.
Is that yeah, what you do? Bribe agents?
Bribe agents. Lots of coffee. Okay, lots of coffee. Yeah. yeah. So they remember your name. I put my name on their coffee cups. Anyway, huge ham. And I don't know what your guys is like. Audition turnover rates are, because for me it's like 2.5 years later.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Like, welcome to the show. And I'm like, what? It was a couple months later. I just got a call and they were like, you got it, go to Santa Monica and record the Hula Girl. And I was like, told my dad, and he's a big car guy, so mm-hmm. he was like, you know, I think you made it.
You've made it to a gas tank.
Yeah.
Made it somewhere. Yeah. If you're just joining us, our guest is Myrna Velasco, and we're talking about her career and some of the cool stuff that she does. Tim Friedlander is Hello. Our guest host, who's not saying much, but he'll jump in at us.
I've heard a lot of this already. Actually, oh, okay. None of it I've heard. Actually, yeah. It's pretty funny. I'm just
stories.
Listening. I'm just listening to this. Okay. Stuff. This is great.
If you have a question for Myrna, you can put it in the chat room. And I know Jeff Holman is out there somewhere writing all these things down and transferring them to us so we can ask her in the next segment of our show. Anything you want to ask her. You know, is she single? Those sorts of things. And about her career and about voice acting in general. But so I'm looking forward to hearing what some of you guys come up with. So you're doing a lot of animation. And I mean, what's that really like? I mean, that's kind of a general question, but what does it involve? I mean, it's auditioning and it's like, and then going in the studio, and you don't really get to work with other actors, do you?
Oh, not anymore. Well, I started my animation journey so spoiled. You know, Disney was my very first employer.
So oh.
They were like fanning me while I talked into a microphone for the first time. And I also, the first animated TV show I was on was Star Wars Resistance. So it was like the biggest group of terrifying creators on the planet. But so besides me just being terrified the whole time that I'm like, I think they fired me today. it was also just like me just implementing the actory things that I thought I didn't learn in all of the studio classes and kind of really fine tuning and picking what worked for the script. And what a luxury, A, to, you know, be so spoiled with these giant companies, but B, to have the script in front of me was this odd sense of relief that I never had.
Memorized it, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right, exactly. And I could like write notes down and then like, you know, listen to the vocal director. Like, okay, I see what you mean. So I felt spoiled just in that world alone. But on top of it, we were recording in the round. So I did have other actors, and I had other real good actors.
Oh, I'm like sure.
Tara Strong and Grey DeLisle and, you know, like real celebrities like Donald Faison and like, oh my God, these people are, Bobby Moynihan acted with me,
yeah,
like me. So that was like such an experience because I honestly felt like, well, I need to learn from these people and I need to like pay as close attention to everything they're doing. And inherently, I guess that meant I was finally listening and then I was being a good actor. I don't know. But so I was very spoiled. And then, you know, cut to a couple years later, the pandemic happens. And I was like, I record auditions in my closet or at my agent's.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean I have to do all of it at home?
And that's when you started talking to Tim about
the new world.
So what did you guys do?
Well, we met through your work.
Yeah.
So actually, I heard your work before we met in person because we worked on your course demo with Everett Oliver.
Yes.
Like
yes.
3 years ago, 3-4 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
At one of our other studios, we actually sent you to one of our other studios, the West Side Studio, with Paul Mercier and Paula Tiso, and they handled the original recording there. And then we spent like 6 months editing.
Yeah.
And putting together all this work. So I went through like all of your episodes, like tons of episodes to try and find like, you know, high quality pieces that represented what you did best.
Yeah.
And then we met in person after that.
Yes.
So I knew your characters really well before I met you in person.
Yeah.
Which is pretty, which was actually, I hadn't really thought about it. It was kind of interesting to like kind of go that reverse direction that way. Cause most people I meet first and then I kind of hear some of their work. Yeah, and now help you try and get set up in your home studio. Help a lot of people get set up in their home studios this last 18 months, but help you transition over, which you were currently in the middle of doing right now.
Yeah,
as of like last week.
Yeah,
the new system, a new booth.
Oh my gosh,
a new
life. So, I feel like I have new skin.
How have you got her set up?
So that's a good question. But first of the biggest thing is you moved locations.
I did. Yeah.
So you know, anytime, and you have to look for, you know, people are, you know,
walk-in closet. No.
Shall we tell him? Shall we tell Dan the saga?
No. Okay. I can't wait to hear all this.
You know, it's one of the things you don't think about. Well, normally, unless you're a voice actor, you don't think about what's my place going to sound like as somebody. I read something on Facebook the other day. They said they found a house they wanted to look at and they happened to show up at like noon on a weekday and the church bells were going off. And the realtor was like, oh yeah, that happens every day. You're going to love it. Right? And she's like, nope, turn around. And was like, I had to give up. I can't remember. So whoever takes credit for that story, I read it on Facebook. And I'm sure. So I remember that story. But you moved apartments.
So during pandemic, I called Everett. Mr. Oliver.
Mr.
Oliver. I called Everett because I think I was getting dialed tone from you. No, just kidding. No, he was like my first contact.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know who else to call. And he was like, you know, set yourself up. This is going to be a couple of months. Just going to be a couple of months. Just a couple
months.
Yeah, 3 months max.
Yeah.
So what you really need anyway is a like a to-go vocal booth, like a booth that you can collapse and then put it back up because you're not going to need it in your apartment in a couple of months.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I went to vocalboothtogo.com, grabbed myself like their last pop-up vocal booth, and I was like, great, I'll use this. 18 months later, poor thing is like falling apart. I'm like sweating in it all the time. Sparks are flying. And I was moving. So I was like, what do I
do? What do we do? Well, and then you get to a new apartment and maybe you hear the air conditioning through the floor that you didn't hear when you were looking before. Maybe you end up in an apartment that's all tile floor.
Right.
The chic.
Right. And the clogging troop upstairs.
Yeah, exactly. So you ended up getting a booth.
Yeah.
We ended up deciding the booth was going to be the way to go as opposed to try and fix the closet.
Right.
Especially, you know, with when someone of your caliber is like, I have Nickelodeon wants to do a test next week, or this studio wants to do a test with me. Somebody's big, you know, that's you need to be able to record 24 hours a day, 7 days a week when you're on call, when your session comes in. So, you know, the solution at that point becomes either a full build out in the space that you're in, if you have the ability to do that, or you got to get a booth and get the good space.
Yeah. Rental property was not going to let me put giant holes in the walls.
No, so no.
Take out the air conditioning. So.
Yeah. Or glue stuff to the walls.
Or glue stuff to the walls. Yeah. Or
big mistake.
The ubiquitous, like, so I have all this foam. How do I get it to stay on my wall? Conversation that everybody has. Well, crazy. Are you staying? Are you moving? Are you not living there? What's happening? What can you do? That's sound isolation versus soundproofing, which we know are two different things.
So, everybody confuses those two.
Yeah, you have soundproof foam. No, you don't have soundproof foam. You have some nice sound isolation that may help diminish some reflections in your space, but you do not have a soundproof.
But I did get a soundproof booth?
You got a booth, yes. Okay. You ended up with a booth.
Custom booth or
it was so cool, right? Like, it was so serendipitous. Tim came over and he's like, I got bad news for you. And I got more bad news for you. And I was like, no, this closet won't work. We just hopped onto Craigslist and just out of like, maybe this will happen. Maybe I won't have anything. This lady down the street had a vocal booth for sale. It's a Scott's booth.
Triple wall.
Say it again. I need to hear it.
Triple wall Scott's booth that was not square, rectangular.
Oh.
It's even better.
Yeah.
Fairly new and was willing to deliver it.
Yep.
Well, she was down the street.
Down the street.
Put it on a dolly.
And deliver it and install it.
Yeah.
In the price. So I was basically, I looked at her for like 30 seconds. I'm like, go buy that. It's like, you sure? I'm like, go buy that.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't care what you like. Just email her, tell her you're going to buy it and you'll get it tomorrow and they'll deliver it. Great. Then that's, you know, because I've done I've paid my penance setting up and dismantling and moving booths in my time. And I don't need to do anymore. So to have somebody who's going to offer to deliver it and install it.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were so sweet and just like super helpful, super quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then it just kind of like hung out in my apartment for a little while I was like, okay, so I've got this laptop and I've got this video cam over here. And when I sync them to my phone, and Tim was like, don't do that anymore, ever again. And we just kind of like built it. Well, the Nestor, the great guy who delivered it, built it out and had worked with Scott before. So it was really secure and calling Tim every night. Does it sound okay in here? Does it sound okay now?
Sounds great.
And then it was so easy. It was so easy to just stick foam.
What mic you have her on?
You have a Gefell M930.
Oh, geez.
Which I have not seen. I have two, but I very rarely use them, but they are awesome.
I had
one. And it works. They're great.
Great microphone.
Great microphones. Not something you see all the time.
No.
I've seen very few people who ever have a Gefell M930.
Yeah.
They sounds great on your voice. And I guess it's what mic should I get? Well, the one you have is works great for you. Does it sound good? Great. Use that mic.
Yeah. Right.
And it sounds great.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All mics sound great. The thing is there's no microphone that's going to make you a better voice actor. You know, it's only going to pick up everything. So if you're in a good environment, you're in good shape, but you know, I mean, an average good mic is going to sound fine no matter who you are. If you're good already, which you clearly are. So you're quite welcome. Well, we're going to take a quick break here. Again, if you've got a question for Myrna, just put it in the chat room. I'm sure let's see if we've got a few questions already. So get your question in now so we can ask Myrna in the next section. So we'll be right back with Myrna Velasco and our guest host, Tim Friedlander, right after these messages. Don't go away.
think I heard the voice of a body shop. I did hear the voice of a body shop. Bad old body shop.
Well, hello there. I bet you weren't expecting to hear some big-voiced announcer guy on your new orientation training for Snapchat, were you?
Stick around. You don't want to miss this. Look what you made me do. Power 1039.
At Target, we want you to come as you are. Be comfortable. Okay, maybe not bathrobe comfortable.
Pants for the customer in aisle four, please.
Nuevo México necesita un cambio. La representante Michelle Lujan Grisham ha luchado por nuestro estado en la Cámara de Representantes.
Watch anywhere, anytime, on an unlimited number of devices. Sign in with your Netflix account to watch instantly at Netflix.com.
The ice cream maker is a big risk that can have huge rewards. Until you forget to turn it on.
Well, that's it, guys. Time is up.
Hey, it's JMC. Thanks for watching the VoiceOver Body Shop. If you're demo ready or looking to get there, check out jmcdemos.com and see a sample of our work. Now let's get back to Dan and George and this week's tech wisdom.
From VoiceOverEssentials.com, it's the relationship savior, the multicolor LED VO recording sign. Not just a stock on the air or recording sign, it's our exclusive VoiceOver recording sign. This brilliantly lit LED 20-color beacon tells everybody at home, which is currently everybody, hey, I'm auditioning, recording, podcasting, narrating, or broadcasting here, and a few moments of relative quiet would be very much appreciated. What's more, the wafer-thin remote control lets you choose a multitude of options, from color to brightness, flashing to fade in and out. You can even set up your own personal codes. Red means I'm recording, blue, playing back, green, it's a wrap. Plug in the 7-foot-long cord and hang it on a doorknob or wall hook using the included chain. For voice workers, silence really is golden. And gold is one of the 20 colors you can choose from. Order yours now for just $69.95 from voiceoveressentials.com. That's voiceoveressentials.com.
The first thing I want to share with you is the plan for these classes, the 5 lessons that we're going to do. The first thing is we're going to start with an introduction today, and then we're also going to take a look at what I call the first discipline of voiceover, and that is the art of voiceover, commercials, audiobooks, animation, and so on. There's lots of them. In fact, some that you may not even be aware of. And then in the next lesson, we're going to take a look at the second discipline of voiceover, and that's what I call the commerce of voiceover, how to build your business. How to do the things that any business needs to do, but in particular, how to do those things for voiceover. In the third lesson and the fourth lesson, because it's such a big topic, we're actually going to do 2 parts. We're going to take a look at the science of voiceover. And the science of voiceover is the technology that you need to know.
This is the Latin lover narrator from Jane the Virgin, Anthony Mendez, and you're enjoying Dan and George on The VoiceOver Body Shop.
And we are back with Myrna Velasco.
Hi.
Welcome back, and we invite your questions. So put them in the chat room right now. Plenty of time. So she's got a new booth.
Yep.
And, you know, and it's everything's working out for you.
It's everything I wanted.
What else are you working on right now that you can tell us
that
about?
I can tell you about? Well, Madagascar Little Wild is the key. Animation in the world, in my opinion. I play a Costa Rican sloth named Lucia. They were a really great employer during the pandemic. I'm also in Santiago of the Seas reprising a bad guy. I did a little bit of like a good guy stint for a little while, but villains are just more fun.
Yeah.
So I am playing Escarlata la Pirata in Santiago of the Seas, which is this really fun. I should know this. Nick Jr. show. Little Wild, Madagascar Little Wild is on Amazon. Yes. Little DreamWorks animation there. Those are like my 2 babies right now. And they've just been these really fun, gorgeous little animations that are for kids. And it's heartwarming. And yeah. Everything ends with the happy ending, which was just kind of a great way to end every awful, lonely night. it's been a rough pandemic for me, friends.
As long as you're working, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm very grateful that the industry was like, well, let's make it work. I'm very grateful for people like Tim and Everett who were just like, yes, I'm busy, and what do you need? So, yeah.
Well, they're always going to help the people they know can actually make it.
Really?
Because, yeah, because, you know, it's a lot of people like, why are you doing this?
Really?
Yeah. Anyway. So are you, you must be bilingual. Do you do any Spanish work too?
Yeah. So that's kind of the funny thing, about Spanish voiceover. It's very regional based. Mm-hmm. And unless they are looking for bocha mexicanas, mm-hmm. meaning mm-hmm. we were born here in the US and have a very, my accent is very LA. It's not like hola, ¿cómo estás? But
yeah, that's Jewish Mexican LA.
Yeah. but it when you pair my voice, like my normal speaking Spanish voice, next to like my mother's voice, who grew up in Mexico, or another girl who grew up in Mexico City, my same age, we have totally different accents. And the same mm-hmm. goes for Cubans, Dominicans, Puerto Ricans. We all have regional accents. Right. And so Spanish market is very picky. You essentially need to have, I want to keep calling it DF, it's Mexico City Spanish or Colombian Spanish, because those are the clearest Spanish sounds right. you can get. And my voice, like, I guess it has nothing to do with the voice. It's just, I'm lazy. It's what it comes down to. And like, yeah, I could spend the time really softening out my accent, but I like it and I'm kind of lazy.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to change it.
So, and they're still hiring you and the check's still clear.
Exactly.
So who cares?
So I'm like the worst person. People do ask, like, how do you get into voiceover? I'm the worst person to ask that, because I'm like, I literally was just doing whatever I wanted. And some people were like, hey, that's cool, come over here. And
yeah.
But the majority of people are like, oh, gross, go over there, out the door forever. So it's just, yeah, if there's anything, it's like you do get that one champion, and then the rest will kind of fall through for you.
That's great. Once again, we're talking with Myrna Velasco. You got a question for her. Get a chance to ask it. And we got a couple of questions here.
So exciting.
Starting with Phyllis Fort, you actually get to ask this question. It's George's job to ask the questions.
Oh, all right. I get to ask the questions. Okay.
Yes. Yay.
So do you help others with animation demos and or scripts? And I will add that maybe to coaching as well. Is that, it might be what is being asked as well?
I do not. mostly because I'm like thinking about something specific right now. So whenever I zone out, I'm like in a different part of my brain.
You don't have time.
I don't have time. And I don't consider myself an acting coach or teacher in any way. Just because what I feel I do is just really intuitive on my own. And I've hodgepodged so many different things together that aren't even acting. Like I do holotropic breath work before an audition. yeah, we'll talk about that.
Okay.
So I kind of don't do that because I don't want to freak people out mostly. And I'm not sure where to begin with, like, well, do it this way. So no, I don't do coaching, but I can, recommend Everett Oliver's amazing. So's Tim. He's a fantastic vocal director in the booth. And also just like taking improv classes. You will probably never improv a script in voiceover, probably never. But it is incredibly helpful to have this wheelhouse of like three characters you can always go to. You know, can I do my petulant child? Can I do my brassy Mexican woman? And can I do my New Yorker or Mid-Atlantic? You know, just have three or four characters, not just accents, but specific characters that have names, that have identities and homes. That way you get the vocal director to laugh at the very least and remember you.
Like, right, exactly.
So yeah, if there's any wisdom I can impart, it's to get free and do some improv and have some people in your mind.
Yeah. And build the character, not the voice.
Exactly.
It's the character, not the voice.
Exactly. Yeah.
Have you ever thought about doing any directing or had the chance to?
No.
Then don't do it.
I won't. I want to get really, really good at this. I just want to get really good at this stuff. You know?
Excellent. Okay. J. Horace Black asks something about Paymaster. We won't go there.
Yeah, we can come back to that.
Yeah. It says, I am SAG-AFTRA. So what's the process once a client reaches out to me directly for work? I've had a few friends who is an exec in a large corporation that wants to have me read VO for one of their in-house training videos. Do you just work with the talent in the states that you're located in, or do you cover every state? Do I need to find their budget? J. Horace, that's a lot of questions. Ask a lot of questions.
There was a lot of stuff there. Okay, so...
You want to email him?
Yeah. I will try to distill this as much as I can. So, Signatory Paymaster Services. One thing to think about when you're SAG-AFTRA is that there is not in voiceover, there's not just union or non-union. There's also non-jurisdictional, which are projects that don't fall under a union contract. And a lot of times you get jobs that can be converted. For example, anything that's non-broadcast is very easy to convert. Meaning you could take this job that was non-union. If it meets the SAG-AFTRA minimum scale, including your pension health contributions as well as payroll taxes, you can then convert this job to a union job through a third-party signatory and Paymaster, which is what we do. So we will handle all of the contracts. We'll make sure all the paperwork gets submitted. We'll handle submitting pension health as well as payroll taxes and get the talent paid as well. And there are a lot of jobs that can be converted. Corporate educational, anything industrial, non-broadcast training videos, they can be converted. So if you are a union member and you would like to work on these jobs, you absolutely can. You can convert them and make this job pay into your pension and health. We work globally. So because SAG-AFTRA is global rule number one, SAG-AFTRA contracts apply all over the world. And we have worked with talent in London. We've worked with talent in South Africa, in the United States, any state in the United States we can help talent with. Best thing to do is to reach us at sbsignatory.com, fill out an information sheet, and we can tell you if it meets the scale, minimum scale needed to convert the job, then it is convertible. If it doesn't meet that rate, then you can't convert it.
Makes sense.
Hopefully that helps.
Yeah. Or, you know.
So execs, you know, if you have an exec with a company who's doing training videos or anything that's not going to ever be seen outside of the company, those fall under this co-ed industrial contract and can very easily be converted for approximately $650 to $750, depending on the job. So if you're getting about that, obviously these are very rough numbers. Don't quote me on any of those, but we have to look at the exact contract, the scale, add up all the costs for pension health, payroll taxes, signatory fees. And whether you're a loan out or an employee will determine how much you pay in taxes, whether you do pay taxes, employee taxes. It is, and that is the tip of the iceberg of this. That is the simple version of this. But it's convertible. You know, I've said this a few times. We've converted in the last year well into the mid six figures of jobs for voice talent and have helped dozens of voice actors meet their pension and health so they can get their health insurance. And with, you know, approximately 150 to 200 jobs that we've done in the last year, it is there. It is an option. It is not just union or non-union. There is a lot in this middle that is convertible and can be converted to union and still allow you to work as a union SAG-AFTRA voice actor on jobs that on the surface appear to be non-union.
See, now I figured he'd give a good long answer for this, so Myrna could take a deep, long breath. Settle down just a little bit.
Always running on high.
Yeah, that's okay. You get Hungry Boy's question.
All right, I'm reading this verbatim just to make sure that I don't mess this up.
Here. Okay.
Yeah, because Myrna has a light upper tenor voice, did she get typecast for fat, quick, rapid speech characters? Or did she get to voice some little old nanas too?
Who is this person?
It's Hungry Boy.
Hungry Boy. I did. I was a nana in Wee Bear Bears. was a little grandma. I play a lot of kids, a lot of kids. I don't know. I can also drop lower, a little bit lower, snack boy. So, yeah. I mean, I don't have a mind for vocabulary. So I'm like, tenor. Am I a tenor? I don't know. So I'm just kind of thinking about that. But it's all about character for me. So I can play with whatever the good Lord has given me. I'll try to find, something that is interesting to listen to. So I do listen back to my takes, even if I'm having someone as fabulous as you, my dear friend Tim, kind of putting it all together for me and making it sound nice. I do want to know what sounds funny, what sounds interesting, what has peaks and valleys. So to me, that's more important than just like what types of characters can I play. I think I can play everything.
That's sort of something that feels, I mean, you'll feel it as well. And you can feel that read. I mean, some things, you know, sound right, but feel right.
Exactly.
And there's a lot of opportunity to put in those things, especially in creating characters that maybe aren't supposed to be sound a certain way or have a certain personality. That something feels right and feels right in that moment. That's where and that's probably where this improv stuff comes in.
Yeah.
Where you can find these emotions and find these different parts of this character that feel right in the scene, in the moment.
Well, another thing as well is I spent a lot of time through Stella Adler, Leslie Kahn, Lee Strasberg, a lot of time working on script analysis.
Script analysis is huge.
It's huge.
And it's huge in commercial too, which I think a lot of people kind of gloss over that there is, and a lot of times it's part of a sentence or a couple words that is like, oh, that's the reason this spot was written.
Right.
That's the joke that they have, or oh, okay, I see the perspective of what this writer was, or what they're trying to get.
Exactly.
And commercial, like script analysis and commercial is huge.
Huge.
And especially in character work too. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you'll have that, the one word, or the one little aside in a spec that is really the key to that character.
Yeah.
And to find that is so important.
What's your process when you get a script? What's your process?
What's the process? I get a script and then I scream because I'm like, no, I have to do work. No, I'm kidding. no, I love doing this. I read it. I read it. Oh no, what's your process? Sir Anthony Hopkins once said to read the script and then read it again, and then read it again, and then read it again. So that's all I'm doing. I'm reading the script. I'm reading it out loud. I'm reading it into a recording with no voice, no affectation to the voice, just to hear what the words are. I'm writing on the script. Okay, well, there's three my's. So which my is the most important? And how do I build the my's? And how do I, break the building so that it's funny or so that it adds something different? Or what's a reversal? What's the antithetical here? So all of the script analysis BS stuff. Sorry, I got really excited that I could say that. So it's just a lot of script analysis. For at this point, it's like I read it and I read it and I read it, and I'm like, okay, what is this? Also, is this a commercial that's 15 seconds, and so maybe I don't have time to, well, what about my happy place? Okay, so how do I shrink it down? Or is it a 45-minute animated almost feature, and how, is there drama in this? Is it an adult comedy? Or also who know your who, what, where, when, why's for the scripts. Like, who is producing this? Who is the voice director? Who is the animator? Because that's also going to give you clues as to how realistic, how broad, how silly, how grounded you have to be for these parts. I get like super obsessive. I literally have, like, my mom has texted me being like, are you camping? She even called me in like 4 days. Are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm just really into this character right now. And she's like, all right, bye. call me when you're normal again. So that's why I don't call mom. So it's a lot of that processing and then getting it onto tape. See, I know the old words. Drop
a needle on.
So then I just record it and add the first. That's not true. Sometimes you found some really good first takes, but I always tell myself, like, the first take is trash, delete it. But it probably might
not
be. I think
the first take is gold a lot of the time.
Really?
I do too.
Well, there is a, depending on, I guess, depending on where you are, but there's a lot of discovery that can happen in that original take that can get glossed over in subsequent takes.
Sure. Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, for like, as you build this character, you'll find more depth to it. But I think there's a lot of like honesty in that first take.
Really?
That can happen that you can miss out on if you wholesale throw it away as, oh, true, that's my first take.
True. Good point. And a lot of my first takes are me being like, so today was the Arnafuslatical. That's not a word, but let's try again. So that's why I throw them away.
Do you do a lot of, when you've been over, you're off to the side, so actually, I don't actually see you in the booth.
Right.
Do you have a lot of physical, do you bring like any stage or theater body work into your characters?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Which is really exciting now that I'm finally recording in the booth, because I'm like, I can move my arms.
That was a big help.
What? Yeah. It's a lot of physicality. Thank you. Yeah. It's a lot of that. And for me personally, because I'm insane, it's a lot of grounding. So I think voiceover, if it did anything for me, other than make sure I'm always eating food and living, is it gave me the sense of grounding because I had to stand still and be in front of the microphone. It's like, it's not even going around. It's not going to catch all of the words. So stand still, Myrna, which was always such a big problem on camera where I'm like, I'm going to move around as much as possible. Yeah, voiceover just gave me this really beautiful sense of like just grounding in and learning how to stand still.
Yeah.
So, yeah, once I figured that out, I was like, oh, I can add some weird stuff of like, okay, I'm just going to like tense this body part. And then all of a sudden I'm getting shot in the stomach or something. Another thing that I did, I can't tell you what it was for because it's still out in the ether, but. So I had a retainer and braces, and there's a character where like she had braces, and I was like, well, I don't have braces. And it's really hard to kind of keep the stuff in your mouth.
Right.
So I just put my retainer on and like, and like booked it. So like little things, like don't be afraid to like just play with, okay, well, if I had a prop on stage, why won't I just use a prop?
And that character lives in the whole body too, which I think people forget in voiceover, is it doesn't live from the neck up.
Exactly.
And even on stage, like, my dad's a drama teacher, and I still use, one of the earliest things I learned from him was to watch people on stage and watch their feet and see if they're acting all the way to their feet.
Yes.
And you see a lot of people who act from the waist up or from the knees up or from the neck up. And somebody who's fully grounded in that character, I think this goes in for voiceover as well, is you can take this character and ground this character all the way to your feet. I think it was Aaron Fitzgerald. She coached it at my studio one night, and she talked about getting into the skin of that character and all the way down to the toes and all the way down into that entire body of that character, how beneficial that can be.
Yeah.
And how much that then that adds into that, then that becomes where the sound of the character comes from.
Right.
Because how you're standing versus the character's still going to live in the honesty of the moment of the acting that they're in. But then the sound comes from, how am I standing? I have a sprained ankle. I hurt my back, or I have a bad knee. These are all just normal things that happen to me on a daily basis.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm like, this is how I feel anyway.
Exactly. But all of those things will build into how things come out of this character.
Yeah, exactly. It's just acting. It just, the thing that like was my big epiphany was just knowing who your audience is. And for voiceover, your audience is your microphone. And for camera, your audience is a camera. For stage, your audience is the giant room of people staring at you. So it's all acting. It's just, how do you tailor it to the audience? You still need those tools.
Yeah. We got time for one more question here. It's a great question from Grace Newton. She says, Myrna, What are your long-term goals in voiceover? And do you have a dream job?
To do all the characters. I really felt that, like, when I stepped into voiceover, it was the first time I was just kind of living moment to moment and living in the present. So I don't actually have huge long-term goals at all, because I'm like, I don't know, I might get hit by a car tomorrow, who knows. But also just I'm so happy to finally be able to be doing what I love to do, which is to just create characters and hang out with people who love telling stories. So I'm just gonna keep doing this until I get good at it and someone either tells me go do this other job or then I die. I don't know.
You have a positive attitude. But, anyway, it's been a pleasure having you on. Thank you for inviting her. This is meeting all these wonderful people in this job. And but you've been delightful. And I really appreciate you coming on. And, you know, and so they can see you is Hannah, the hula girl, and all these other things that you've been doing. And now when I hear your that voice, I'm going to.
Lil Mern.
All righty. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. We're going to take another quick break, and then Tim and I will wrap things up and rack it up for Tech Talk right after this.
Yeah. Hi, this is Carlos Alas Rocky, the voice of Rocco, and you're watching VoiceOver Body Shop.
In these modern times, every business needs a website. When you need a website for your voice acting business, there's only one place to go. Like the name says, voiceactorwebsites.com. Their experience in this niche webmaster market gives them the ability to quickly and easily get you from concept to live online in a much shorter time. When you contact voiceactorwebsites.com, their team of experts and designers really get to know you and what your needs are. They work with you to highlight what you do. Then they create an easily navigable website for your potential clients to get the big picture of who you are and how your voice is the one for them. Plus, voiceactorwebsites.com has other great resources like their practice script library and other resources to help your voiceover career flourish. Don't try it yourself. Go with the pros. Voiceactorwebsites.com, where your VO website shouldn't be a pain in the you-know-what.
And we're back to talk about one of our fabulous sponsors that have been with us since the early days back in eWebs, and that is Source Elements, the makers of Source Connect.
Yes.
Now, as a studio owner,
yes,
I'm going to assume that you use Source Connect all the time.
I was on it, had hours, 3 hours of Source Connect session today.
Three hours on today.
Connected to New York, and we were connected to the cutting room in New York with one talent in Los Angeles and three in New York in the studio over there.
Yeah.
And it's great. It sounds like they're in the same room with us.
Yeah. So you really, if you're a full-time working voice actor, you really need to have that capability. Now, when the pandemic hit, you have to have Source Connect.
Absolutely.
We've been telling people that for years that you have to have Source Connect, but now you absolutely have to have Source Connect. And what it is a studio to studio link where you can talk to they can hear you can hear them, and it's like being there.
And we can record on our end, so we would record the talent on our end, they can record the talent on their end, and as a studio we're done. I don't have to send them files, they don't have to send me files. It's great.
Yeah. So if you want to have Source Connect, it's real easy. Just go over to sourceelements.com and look at all the different options they have for, you know, they've got budget plans, and you can buy it monthly now, I understand.
Yep, monthly. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So go on over there, check out Source Connect and Source Elements, and tell them we sent you.
You're watching VOBS.TV. I don't know why. It's crazy what they do here. I think I'm going to go somewhere else and have a cheese sandwich.
And we're back. So we got to wrap things up here. So you have to go through what we talk about here. Like, for instance, next week on this show, which we're about to record, is Tech Talk number 62.
Wow.
I can't believe we've done that many. Then we're going to take a week off for Labor Day and Rosh Hashanah.
Okay. Yep.
And we return on September 13th with vocal therapist Amy Chapman. And she's fabulous. And you'll, you know, learn about, you know, how to get your voice working the way it's supposed to. Mm-hmm. And then on September 27th, VO Legal Eagle, Rob Siglimpaglia.
Rob's awesome.
The only person who actually can pronounce his name. but he's, you know, we're going to be talking about AI and some of the issues that we're dealing with now, and how to legally, you know, be a voice actor, and his book, Voiceover Legal. So that'll be a lot of fun. We have to thank our donors of the week. We can alternate on these.
All right.
So I'll start with George Whittam Sr., which is George's dad.
Gotcha. Brian Page.
Rob Rader.
Addie Gibbons.
Antland Productions, Uncle Roy.
Hey, Michelle Blanker.
Christopher Epperson.
Sandra Manwiller.
Philip Sapir.
Trey Mosley.
Trey, how you doing?
Hey. Hi, Trey.
Shelly Avellino and
Thomas Pinto.
Tom Pinto. We also need to thank our sponsors, Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials, VoiceOver Extra, Source Elements, VOHeroes.com, VoiceActorWebsites.com, and JMC Demos. Our thanks to Jeff Holman in the chat room tonight, and our technical director, Sue Merlino, getting it done tonight because that's what she does. And, of course, Lee Penny for being Lee Penny. And Tim for being our co-host this week.
Thank you for having me.
All right. We're going to re-rack it and get set for Tech Talk, so don't go away unless you're watching this in replay, in which case you're going to go, I missed it. Anyway, you know something? This is not an easy business. You got to really work at it. You got to learn. As Myrna was telling us, you got to take classes and you got to watch VoiceOver Body Shop because, listen, if it sounds good,
it is good.
Oh, you got it. Excellent.
Wow.
I'm Dan Leonard.
Tim Friedlander.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop
or VOBS. Have a great week, everybody.